and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Excuse me. All right. For starters, let's turn to 2 Peter, and we're dealing with the doctrine of the eternal state. You should have that in front of you. If you don't have a copy of it, raise your hand. We'll get you one. Okay? A week's gone by. I hope you haven't forgot about rebound. The rebound technique. This is what gets us back on track. I cannot emphasize that enough. This doctrine, you learn it, and it grows on you as you become grace-oriented and understand that God is a God who forgives people who do the right things. And we have been forgiven of all of our past sins when we believed in Jesus Christ. Wiped out, blotted out, not brought into remembrance, not any consideration. Whatever a person might suffer after salvation for activities prior to salvation, that's not the point. The point is that the sins of the past have been blotted out. And when you as a believer elect, choose to rebound, your mental attitude sins, your sins of the tongue, and overt sins, they're forgiven. And you, therefore, are in a state, for the moment anyway, to glorify God, produce divine good, and learn Bible doctrine. Learning is a process. You learn it, you hear it, and the more you hear it, the more you become attuned to it. But you cannot and should not, under any circumstances, do anything to cut yourself off from your spiritual food. You should make that your priority. And I add that you are not an island to yourself. You cannot violate the principle that God has set up for the matriculation of positive volition, which is under the authority of a duly established pastor teacher in a local assembly, in a local locale. That's your priority. That's the center of your life. When the Jews were in the wilderness, after they built the tabernacle was in the dead center, and the 12 tribes were on the north, south, east, and west, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, all with their tents towards the tabernacle, which was the house of doctrine, with all of its intricacies. So the center point, and it never changes, the center point is there is a place to worship, there's a means to worship, there's an environment, and God has continued to provide Maranatha Church in these final days, I believe, the resources, the wherewithal to be able to be in a real better than average place, a nice place, this place, where we can assemble and take in doctrine, and as a really nice side benefit, if you choose to, you can have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ. For now, let's get ourselves in fellowship and gear up to learn what God has to say about where we're going to eventually wind up. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we know from your word that there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It is your plan, not our plan. We have chosen to become a part of it as a local assembly, and we thank you for this day and this opportunity. Help us to appreciate the information and to continue under whatever we're under, to continue to produce divine good and glorify you. Thank you for this opportunity. Be with us in Christ's name. The Bible has a lot to say, or has sufficient information, with regard to the eternal state. The eternal state is the final development and manifestation of the plan of God. It is eternal. It is not temporal. It goes on and stretches on forever and ever and ever. God is placed in the heart of all mankind the concept of eternal. The eternal concept is in the heart of everybody. Everybody has or has used the word in one way or another, eternal, everlasting, forever. So this is state. Now, if you're new, there's so much to say, I can't say it all. But I can tell you that the Bible has laid out the prophetic future in a lot of detail. And we work on that detail. We've worked on that detail all over the years, putting it together, growing up in it, understanding it, getting things straight. You don't get it all straight one reading or one class. It takes time, both for the teacher and the student. The eternal state. The eternal state is referred to in 2 Peter 3:12. And it is ushered in. It is ushered in by the destruction and elimination of the present creation. This earth we're on today, and the heavenly bodies above our heads, this will be wiped out, eliminated in a most dramatic fashion. And guess what? Every single human being that has ever lived on this earth, believer and unbeliever, will witness it. The dissolution. The original creation was only witnessed by the angels before the fall of Satan and his angels. They were eyewitnesses. They were created first. They were in what I call the void. Nothing else. And they saw piece by piece the creation of the physical real estate that we refer to as the third heaven, and then the earth beneath it, referred to in the scripture as my footstool. They witnessed that. And then, of course, later on, when the judgment fell on the earth as a result of the fall of Satan, and the earth was locked, Genesis 1, 2, the earth was locked in darkness and extreme cold. It was in an ice pack. The first flood. And then, of course, they witnessed God, the restoration, the 6-day restoration. And all the things that were put in place, with man being the final addition, Homo sapien, man. And so that creation has undergone some various traumatic events and will undergo some more traumatic events, both on a judgmental side and on a positive side. The earth has a history. It has a startup date and it has an end date. This earth that we live on and can't escape, contrary to what the dummies say. We're trapped on it. We're captives on it. We actually can't even go up that high. But anyway, this earth will be removed, and everybody will witness it, because there's the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, first phase of the kingdom of God. It's only 10 centuries. That's quite a while, 10 centuries. And after the 10 centuries are up, then there'll be a revolt against the negative volition that builds up on the earth, amazingly, but shouldn't be surprising to us. All the evidence in the world, does not change the volition of someone who is presupposed to be negative. We've witnessed it. We've seen it. No amount of evidence. And you even see this in believers. No amount of doctrinal evidence to support a doctrine can be permitted that will change their mind. They just dig their heels in and refuse. So negative volition there's no place where there's any statistics. But if you have 1,000 years of prosperity, 1,000 years of no war, 1,000 years of no plagues, apparently no significant natural catastrophes, lifespan is expanded beyond what we have the 70 to 80 average today, age-wise. It'll be expanded. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says if someone dies before they're 100, they'll think he's under a curse. So I haven't worked out what the average will be. I know before the flood, the numbers compared today are astronomical for the longevity of man. With an individual like Adam, it's mind-boggling, reaching not a birthday of 960 years. What do you do 960 years? Whoa! You have to be pretty healthy most of the time. And of course, Methuselah set the record 6969. And the day he died, the great Noah's flood hit the earth. He breathed his last, and boom! We have the great flood. And the promise afterwards, thou'll never flood the earth and destroy it again by water. And that little rainbow out there, that's the token of God's promise that he will not destroy the earth by flood, by water. Anyway, after the Gog and Magog revolution is put down, and you can read about it, we might run across the verses on it. It'll be a massive revolution that will, I think, involve billions of people. Because, see, people are going to procreate for 1,000 years. We're not going to have a lot of the usual reasons for people dying off. Corrupt governments killing their own citizens. More people have died as a result of the hands of wicked rulers than armies and nations fighting each other. We have numbers like 30 million. Russia under the Soviet regime. China killing off its people. And other places. And as we sit here today, people are dying violently on the earth in wars and things. There won't be any of that. And longevity will be increased. But again, while Christ is reigning on earth and is visible to anybody who is in the vicinity, plus rubbing shoulders with people in resurrection bodies, with Jerusalem being the centerpiece, there'll still be negative volition. And a lot of it. Except they don't have anywhere to run. By that I mean, they don't have, well, I'm going to go over here and be in this religion. Because no false religions will be permitted. They won't be popping up like weeds all around the world. They won't be allowed. And no one can say, Satan influenced me. Because he's in hell with all of his angels. So nobody's demon-possessed. No one's under the influence of that. And as far as Bible doctrine goes, the prophet said, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. It'll be broadcast and propagated everywhere with no interference. No interference from the negative people organizing and putting out stuff. If we have news broadcasts or weather forecasts, they'll probably be pretty benign. Except nations that do not there's individual nations. Nations who do not send a delegation up to the Feast of Tabernacles on a yearly basis, they will have a problem with not enough rain. So there's that. But otherwise, perfect weather everywhere. No massive earthquakes, natural disasters. It's an era of peace. Nobody can get by with criminal activity. No gangs, no mafioso. None of this mess. None of it. No cults. On and on. People will have the freedom and they'll have sin natures. If they commit a certain crime, they're dead. They're taken out. You commit that one, you're out. That's why it's called the rule of the rod of iron. No nonsense. The stuff that's permitted today, running amok everywhere. None of it. It's hard to even imagine. You can get a better handle on the millennium than you can the eternal state for reasons I might bring up. Now, the first thing is, this verse 12 here, finally got to it. This is what believers who are informed are doing. FYI. Pay attention. Let your little mind drift off into whatever. Your problems. I got mine. Your issues. The insanity that's rampant in this country and elsewhere. By the way, you can dwell on that stuff too much. And it isn't going to change anything. You can join with me in praying. We'll see how that works. You can join with me in praying that all these people that are doing all this stuff, that it'll spill out into the open. Even before the rapture. That it'll blow into the open. They have covered up. See, there's verses in the Bible that talk about people who do stuff in secret and have it spilled out in the open. They think they're real clever. Exposing them. For the benefit of general humanity, so maybe they can make a decision. Oh, that's why they're doing this. This is what this is about. I mean, there is a certain level among certain people that things aren't at all as they are being reported. There's a plan. A dark, dark plan. I'm not just talking about the average evil person running around out here. I'm talking about a dark, organized plan to enslave the human race, to make us, I don't know, transhuman. No, they're serious about this. That will be a key to understanding why there is an announcement made at the rapture to those left behind. Don't, under any circumstances, take the mark of the beast, or you're doomed. There's no salvation. Now that challenges some things theologically, but I'm not going into that now. I think it makes them, for lack of a better term, zombies. They want to manipulate our emotions, our feelings, our decisions. In other words, we want to basically take away your freedom or your free will and make you a machine, a biological machine, but a machine. And that technology, well, it's taken a long time for anything like that could even be imagined. It might be in certain sci-fi movies we've seen. I'm sure it has. They're telegraphing what they're going to be doing, what they plan to do. It's not just entertainment. They're telling us something. They do this with a lot of these movies, and they think they're real clever. They've telegraphed a lot of stuff in movies made for TV and regular movies for the theater. They've telegraphed this stuff, what they're up to. All right. Believers who are informed, hopefully that's you, you be like these first century Christians to whom Peter wrote this letter. They understood this stuff. Oh, they didn't even have the book of Revelation yet. That didn't get dropped on. And that was the last thing to get dropped on people. And obviously, it's a major help with regard to sealing up the vision and getting the full picture. But then you've got to be a student of it, and it takes time. But we look forward to things. Well, I don't know what you're looking forward to today much. Cooler weather. whatever. You're looking for something like that. You're looking forward to something. If someone engaged to be married, they're looking forward to the event. If they're normal people, they're looking forward to that day when they will be joined together in marriage. Looking forward to the birth of a child, or whatever it is. Looking forward. And hastening the coming of the day of God. You can underline, well, you don't have to mark in your Bible, but day of God. Day of God is technical. The day of God is the eternal state. And it begins. It begins officially with the creation of earth too. There won't be a heaven above it like there is now, right above it. Heaven will be on earth. The temple of God, the new Jerusalem, it'll all be on earth. The new earth, earth too. We won't be talking about going to heaven, etc. Hastening for the coming of the day of God, because of which means that this will be a part of the preceding, because of which the heavens will be destroyed by burning. That would knock out the sun, the stars, the moon that we're all familiar with. They're gone. Be destroyed by burning. And the elements will melt with intense heat. But according to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Not even a little tick of a misbehavior. Not any human viewpoint. Nothing but people who are squared away. So that's another part of which you can't say that about the millennium. You got people with free will who are born to parents who enter in the millennium who have to grow up and make the decision to believe in Jesus Christ, who, ostensibly, if they're permitted to, they can see him in person in his resurrection glory on earth, just as people saw him at the first advent. But here, with power and glory, ruling over the nations, with his royal family, the church, the bride of Christ, being administrators of the kingdom on earth. Little children, I give you the kingdom. And that means you'll have a place in it according to your, we saw in the previous doctrine, according to your spiritual status down here. The higher the position will be commensurate with you committed yourself and committed yourself to Bible doctrine and didn't throw in the towel and didn't give up and got and even if you fail, bounce back, get on track. It's like I use the illustration. You have a beautiful car. It is lovely. It is really cool in every sense of the word, and you wrap it around a tree. And it's not fixable. Practically. You walk off from it. And you were stupid, and you did something stupid to make that, because you thought you were really cool, because you had this cool car, and so you're going to floorboard it. You lose control of it. It's got about 600 horsepower, and you wrap it around a tree. I see some of these young guys running around in these piece of crap cars with an awful sounding muffler, just going like, yeah, you're really cool, buddy. Anyway, so this is information to reflect upon. Everybody that's ever lived will see the dissolution of the first creation. It has to be that way, because when the millennium's over, he has to raise the unbelievers from the dead. Because you can't take the earth out and everything in it, because their remains are in it. Duh. So we got to take all the unbelievers and resurrect them. And so you have these categories. You have surviving millennial saints, you have unbelievers that are resurrected, and you have the saints from the church age and before. And we're all going to watch Earth One in this fiery, noisy cataclysm taken out. And everybody, by the power of God, will be suspended in space. Then the great white throne judgment. A throne appears. Christ sits on it and judges the unbelieving group. They're cast into the lake of fire. And then we get to witness the creation of the new heavens and the new earth that we will occupy. Kind of a background to all this. Yeah, you can see if people out there are occupied with this one, are they? No. But we're looking forward to it, because the truth has been put in our hearts. And that's our future. People talk about their future. Oh, they're going to do this, this, and this. This is our eternal future. So, the great white throne judgment is specified in Revelation 20:11. John, in his virtual vision, "Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them." It's another description of the dissolution of that Peter mentions. It is now mentioned in Revelation 20. Fled away. Colorful language. It fled away. No place was found for them. "And I saw the dead." This is the unbelievers only. That's what is typically called by people the last judgment, because it is the last. And it is the judgment of unbelievers from all of history. The names, the great. They made a name for themselves. They're in the history books. Their names are household names. The great. And the small, the little guy, the little nobody down here, standing before the throne. "And books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the books." Your name's not in the book of life. Everybody, when people die in unbelief, names blotted out. Blotted out. They had their chance. The guy lived to be 99. He had all those years to make the salvation adjustment. Didn't do it. His name is blotted out. So in looking at the record, the names aren't there. The most important place to have your name recorded. And of course, yours is permanently there in indelible ink, as it were, because you believed in Christ. And it can't be blotted out by anything you do, etc. Doctrine of eternal security. "And the dead were judged from the things which were written in it," the books, "according to their deeds." This isn't, okay, let's embarrass them one last time by all of their sinful behavior. No. They committed the unpardonable sin. There are other sins. Jesus died for them. They're not going to be cast in the lake of fire because they were a serial killer. Or whatever terrible things some people do. That one serial killer during my youth in New York City going around killing prostitutes and young women. He had a nickname, Son of Sam. That's not his real name. They got him. Put him in prison. And he walks around with a Bible and witnesses to people now. He murdered all those innocents, and now he becomes a believer. Well, he's in life. He's in prison for life. They say he's a real easygoing guy that walks around with a Bible that says when he was young, he heard voices in his head. That was his story. You'll be some surprising people. And so the deeds is, the point of the whole thing is, your good deeds. Even some very commendable stuff. There are people that do commendable stuff out there. They really do. Make sacrifices, do this, raise families, die for another person. On and on. You can't earn salvation through that because they don't add up to plus R. So their works. Because there's any number of people that surely my good deeds will give me a pass. No. If you devoted your life 24/7 and you were sincere in every way to helping the poor and doing this and sacrificing, you're going to cut it. It doesn't add up to plus R. So they get this flashed before them. You say, Jack, that'd be billions and billions of people. How can all these people be judged? I don't know. When you're dealing with the logistics and God dealing with it, it's not a problem for him. See? The logistics are never a problem. I ask the question, what are you going to do with all the people? It's not my problem. All the people are going to live in the New Jerusalem. You'll have a suite there. You'll have a nice place in the New Jerusalem with an address and everything. I'll have one. So, and then this flips back to their resurrection. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Many people have died in water. Think of all the people at the flood that drowned and were swept away. Their remains out in the ocean. The sea gave up the dead which were in it. This is their physical bodies. Their souls have been in hell for however long. Whoever the first unbeliever was to die, he'd been in hell the longest. Those that are destroyed in the Gog and Magog revolution, it's kind of like boom, boom. They touch base with hell. Satan's never been in hell, but he'll be there for 1,000 years. And then he'll get released. And energize all this negative volition and convince the dummies, like he can always do, that we can succeed this time. In spite of the fact this Bible has been in front of them for 1,000 years, and anybody can read that, no, you're not. But that doesn't slow down negative volition, does it? It does not slow down negative volition. You're going to show them? Forget it. And Hades gave up the dead which were in it. That's their souls. And they're matched back up with their bodies. So someone who died in a shipwreck on the high seas and drowned and was an unbeliever and their soul goes to hell, they'll be hooked back up with the actual body they had. That's the same for believers too. And Hades gave up the dead which were in it, and they were judged, every one of them. This repeats the principle according to their deeds. And then death. Death to what? The soul, the soul continues to be aware and continue to exist after death, in a good place or a bad place. Then death, that's their bodies. And Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. And that is wherever it's at, in space or wherever it's at, relative to the new earth? I don't know. I don't know its actual location. But it's the final disposition of all unbelievers in their bodies, body and soul, and all the fallen angels, demons, etc., etc., etc. That's where they end up. No way out. Nothing. This ought to be sobering for the human race. Well, I don't believe. You don't believe. Then quit using the word hell. And damn it. Would you please? Don't be saying, what the hell is this all about? There's no hell. And no heaven above, like in the John Lennon song, Imagine. You can imagine all the way. You're going to run around with your little stupid imagination. There's no nations. There's no this. It's a perfect commie song that got a lot of press. The song Imagine. Imagine there's no heaven above or hell below. This was a rock song back, way back in the 60s. The Beatles. I guess you already know that, don't you? Revelation 21:1. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. See, John is having a virtual vision. None of this was exterior to his eyes like a hologram, or he wasn't taken from the location where this information was given to him on a little tiny island in the Aegean Sea called Patmos. Go look it up, your little phone or whatever. Patmos. He was exiled there. The elderly Apostle John, he was exiled there for being a Christian in a work colony. He finally was released from there. As far as I know, he's the only apostle that didn't die a martyr's death. He died of old age. But God preserved. Oh, we're gonna put this apostle. We'll put him in his place. We're gonna put him in this work camp out here on this island. This isn't some tropical paradise either. We're gonna put him out there. What does God do? What is this? Don't you love technology? Something for us to laugh at on break. I understand, John. Don't worry about it. You didn't do anything wrong. You know, it's not like a woman that was in church here and her phone started playing some down-home country something. Oh. She couldn't shut it off. Anyway, but that's not what this is. We will witness the creation of the new heaven. I mean, then the new earth. A new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth, Revelation 21:1. The first heaven and the first earth passed away. And there was no longer any ocean. On the new earth, basic topography, it will be flat. There will be no oceans. Oceans and mountain ranges separate people. God has used that not only just for beauty and for other purposes, but he used that to keep people apart. Because they get involved in so much mischief if they get in easy contact with each other. It's a separating factor. Well, to be around those people, you'd have to cross the high seas. Well, that isn't practical always. So, anyway, I saw the holy city. This is the final crowning touch. He sees the earth. John in his virtual vision. This all happened in his brain. Imagine a very vivid dream. But in this case, it's one that is truly supernaturally imposed upon him. And then, not only did he see it and go through a process, I don't think that it all happened in one session. Be a little big thing to go through. But then it had to come back to him later through divine inspiration so he could write it down out there on that island.
And then they had to make copies of it. You didn't go to a printing shop. They didn't have any. It had to be done by hand by a scribe. And not mess it up, because people make mistakes. And each one of these letters was sent to seven churches. And then this book had to be preserved through time. God oversees His Word, the physical part of it, and oversees and protects it, so that the integrity of the text comes down and isn't corrupted by human mistakes and additions and omissions. That's one of the great miracles of human history, is the preservation of the Bible, the original Hebrew, and God had a system for doing it. Scribes had a meticulous thing they had to do to double check everything they wrote down. And if they screwed it up, they had to throw it out and start over. That would, and to be a scribe of that category. Manuscripts. And they were preserved all the way down in history until we get a printing press. And then we could crank out Bibles like crazy. Gutenberg's printing press. What an invention. So John wrote all this down. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. There are questions I have about all this. When the dissolution of the original creation is wiped out, does that include the third heaven? It couldn't. It just has to be the earth footstool aspect of it, with the dome and everything below it. A thought, just a thought. If you think I'm nuts or wrong, or you got an insight, that's fine. But you never get anywhere if you don't think about stuff. And if it's in the Word of God, it's important. Well, so the final thing is, this city is coming down out of heaven onto the new earth. The city was already made. Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. It's already up there. And those have died, gone up there, and they can take, and they got a nice place to hang out. The New Jerusalem. It comes down out of heaven onto the earth too. Brand new, spanking new earth. It comes down. And it isn't just like that. It's dramatic. It's like one of these space movies with this thing coming down, you know. One of these fake space movies, I should say. It's coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. So Jerusalem's in the feminine form of the bride. And the city itself will be occupied by Old Testament saints. Anybody has a real, has a full-blown resurrection body, and Age of Israel saints, and of course Church Age saints. And we'll take up residence there. Now this all might sound like, this isn't going to be any fun. What do you mean by fun? What's your definition of fun? If it's STA activity, you can forget that. It's going to be enjoyable beyond comprehension. Because this is your daily residence. I'm not saying you can't go outside the city and explore. You can, no doubt. The description is given in fuller detail throughout the book of Revelation. So the eternal state is the second and final phase of the kingdom of God on earth. The phase of the kingdom, the first phase, is under the title Day of the Lord. The Day of the Lord officially begins with the rapture and the trib following. And that's the era, that's the 7 years of wrath, culminating in the second advent and the baptism of fire of the nations and the startup of the millennium. And that day of the Lord goes all the way through the 1,000 years and also includes the Gog and Magog revolution and it being put down and the great white throne judgment. Then what's after that? We've disposed of all the unbelievers. They're in the lake of fire. Then the new heaven is created, and we move to the day of God. Eternity and all that it will open up. There's a verse about SG3 in the Bible, and I will let you go. From because we'll have the Lord's table and a second session and deacons meeting after that, so I don't have to make that announcement. The day of the Lord. What I was looking. Never mind. We'll take our break.